Do you know where you are?
Lydia's Tomb.
Where do we find it in Scripture?
Acts
16. How many people, don't raise your hands.
Oh.
I'll be disappointed. Did you read the story?
Yes.
It's a good way to prepare. Try to picture, most of you or some of you would have seen the amphitheater as we pass by, which is part of the ancient city, and I think we're going to go see some more. You might not have heard that the Roman road ran through here that basically connected Europe and Asia. This was a huge trade route. And so the Apostle Paul, of course, somewhere along this river, really began the fulfillment of an amazing act of providence that affects you and me. And I'm kind of waiting to see if everybody's here. Are we all here?
We have a minute. How, wasn't all the land, was it the Roman road from Rome to Greece? I mean, there's water there. It's an ocean.
Well, it ran up through Italy, the Appian Way. There were different roads.
Uh-huh.
This road was the Ignatian Road, or the Via Ignatia, which connected Europe. Yeah, yeah.
Through Yugoslavia?
Just
around?
Just, I can show you on a map.
Okay. Find a picture of here.
But, I mean, Asia is... right here. We're not far from Turkey.
Okay.
And the road would come, the road would run to the sea, then the ships would come to the port, they would load the stuff, they would take it across. So it was a big trade route. Very important. Are we all here? Anyone who's not here, we're just going to have to go ahead and get started. If you open your Bible, if you have your Bible, open it to Acts 16, and I'm not going to take long. When we come to these sites, we don't really have time for an extended Bible class for a lot of detail. But if, as we go to sites, questions come up, write your questions down. We can find someplace in the hotel, wherever we're staying. We can sit down and we can talk it over. We can look at maps. We can go back to Scripture. Grab hold of me at some point, and I'll do my best to answer questions that you have. Amber kind of latched on to me this morning, so I've been answering some questions for her on the bus. Don't feel like your questions can't be answered. We'll take time for the questions. But what we have time for now is I want you to look at Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to read the whole story because Jamie's going to be talking about another part of the story later on. And then this afternoon I'm going to be talking about the story within the story, the story that most people overlook. And we'll see that later on. But if you just open with me to Acts 16, try to picture the city of Philippi here, or Philippi as they say in Greek. The Apostle Paul has come in. You know that he saw the Macedonian vision. And as I said, we'll talk about that aspect of it later on. In obedience to God, he comes here. And we're going to just begin in verse 10. When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. That's where we are now. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis. Neapolis means new town. It's funny because when you translate the meaning of the names, a lot of times it's very much like we would name a town. New town. Neapolis. So they come to Neapolis. And from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia. A Roman colony, very important. There's a lot of history here. The plain that was next to the road that we were traveling on is a site of two major Roman battles. The end of the Roman Republic actually happened there in the battle between Brutus and Cassius and Antony and Octavian. And later, Brutus fought another battle against Antony and Cleopatra in the same area. So the fact that it was a Roman colony means that all the rules and laws of Rome applied, all the privileges of citizenship applied to those who lived in this colony. We were staying in this city for some days, and on the Sabbath day, we're here on Sunday, Paul came out here on Saturday, we went outside the gate to a riverside, somewhere along where you and I are sitting, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken of by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, probably again somewhere along this river, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. There's a lot of information in this short little text, but we can't deal with all of it. What I want to do is use this opportunity to begin our tour dealing with the most important fact. And that is the work of God in the soul of this woman, bringing her to regeneration. Now, most of you, I know we're here as believers in Jesus Christ. I'm not sure about some of the Aussies. I worry about Sean sometimes. But I think most of you are believers. And you can think back to the time in your life when this took place for you. But the importance of it is something that we ought to pause at the beginning of this journey, this tour, and think about. The work of regeneration. The fact that as Paul is sharing the gospel with these women by the riverside, and she is listening, she's a woman who's been worshiping God. She is a God-fearer or a God-seeker. God opens her heart. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through His conviction and illumination, opens her heart to respond to the message. The work of regeneration is a work of God. There is nothing we can do to save ourselves. But there is something that we can do to help prepare ourselves. And she had prepared herself so that the Spirit of God at the right time took the seed of the gospel and planted it in the good soil of her heart, and her eyes were open. So I want you to consider a couple of things here regarding regeneration. First of all, Jesus said in John chapter 3, you remember, to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." It's a universal imperative. It applies to every member of the human race. You must be born again. If you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And of course, Jesus, in another passage in Luke 19 and verse 10, tells us that the Son of Man came to save that which was lost, right? Did I miss something there? The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You remember the story in John chapter 4 when Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria? Very telling statement in that text says Jesus had to go through Samaria. That was not the normal way that Jews would go from Jerusalem to Galilee. They crossed the river, went up the east side, and then came back in. But he had to go. Why? Because he had a divine appointment. He was seeking someone, and the one he was seeking met him at the well. Paul, now the ambassador of Jesus Christ, knowing the divine imperative, you must be born again. It's your only hope. Everything in this world means nothing without regeneration. It's all just passing. The world and all that's in it is passing away. And so Paul, driven, as he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, by the love of Christ, the love of Christ compels us, because we judge that if one died for all are dead, and therefore must be born again. Paul now, as the ambassador of Christ, the representative of Christ, is the one doing the seeking. The very same thing, by the way, that each of you and I are supposed to be doing. We are now the ambassadors of Christ. We are the ones who have been given the commission. Each of us is to be a seeker of those who are seeking God. Why did Paul leave Asia Minor and come here? You know, if you read the story earlier, that he tried to go in two different directions, and the Spirit of God prohibited it. He closed the door until Paul came to Troas, and there he was given the vision that led him to come here. Why is it so significant? Because historically, it means that you and I are believers in Jesus Christ and not Muslim or something else. It means that the gospel began just like the rising of the sun that rises in the east and moves to the west. The gospel took that same course as it spread around the world. You and I are the recipients of that. You and I are the beneficiaries of what happened right here almost 2,000 years ago. But I want to come back to the question, why did God lead Paul to Lydia? Christ came to seek. Paul, as his representative, is seeking. But there's another aspect to that story. And we go back to the Old Testament in Jeremiah 29:13, and we read, and this is a verse, by the way, that led me to Christ. As I was reading through the book of Jeremiah as a young teenager, an unbeliever, I came to Jeremiah 29:13, where he says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And I remember the day reading a tattered, torn old Bible that I had found that I kept hidden under my mattress, reading that verse and saying, "I'm going to seek. Because if I seek, he'll find me. I'm not going to find him, he'll find me." I was in a Russian church in Kazakhstan. After the message, I kind of gave an invitation, just ask if anyone had questions or anything that I could do to help. A lady came from the back. She had come 1,000 miles out of Siberia to be in that town that day. She had lived a life that was rough, the only way I can describe it. She fell on her knees. She started crying. And when the pastor of the church asked her what we could do to help her, or what was her need, she said, "I have been running from God, and today He found me." But what is it that connects the seeking Christ with the seeking soul? There comes a point in God's perfect plan and God's perfect timing where someone communicates that message of what Christ has done. The person hears, the Spirit of God quickens the heart, opens the eyes, stirs the soul, and there's a response. And that seed, as I said, falls on fertile soil. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well. Those who worship God must worship in what? Spirit and in truth. And then what did he say? For God is seeking such people to be his worshipers. That takes another step, doesn't it? First he's seeking the lost. Then he's seeking those who are seeking him. Then he's seeking those who once found, once they come to faith in Christ, are willing to commit themselves to a life of worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Spirit of God and the Word of God work together to reach into the dark and cold and hardened soul of man to bring us to a saving knowledge of Christ, as happened to Lydia somewhere here, as happened to you and I on our own experience. But folks, it doesn't stop there. Regeneration is not just what happens at the cross. Regeneration doesn't stop at the cross. Regeneration is an ongoing work. It is the work of infusing into our lives the life of Jesus Christ. Or as Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The just shall live by faith." And every day you live should be a day of entering more fully and more deeply into the life of Jesus Christ. That's what this tour is all about. It's not just a vacation. In fact, it's far from that. It is a search. It's a quest. You're on a vision quest. And your vision quest is to see the person of Jesus Christ, to come to know Him more fully by being able to relate passages from your Bible to places like this and say, somewhere here it happened. Somewhere here the feet of the Apostle Paul walked. Somewhere here he found women who were praying by the river and began to present to them the priceless and precious gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him should never perish but have everlasting life. And that's the message by which you and I are to live. Not only to treasure and cherish in our own hearts and souls, but to share with every person we have the opportunity to share it with. All right? So I'm going to just close with a quick prayer, and then we'll move along, and we're going to go see some of the other sites as well. So if you would just join me as we reflect on what happened here, reflect on what God has done in our own life. Father in heaven, what a joy it is for us to be in this place. Whether it's the actual site or not really is totally immaterial. The important thing is that by Your grace You have allowed us, we who have been found by Christ, we who somewhere along the line in our life had the Spirit of God open our eyes to a place where it really began as the gospel came into Europe, the first convert, the beginning of our history spiritually. Began not only at the cross, but began here with the Apostle Paul continuing to seek to save those that were lost. Challenge us, first of all, to treasure the life that we have in Christ, to treasure Your Word, to implement it and put it into practice in our lives, so that we can be not only a verbal witness, but a living witness to those around us of the precious life of Christ, which we have by grace through faith. And we thank You for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.